all been waiting for. Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Of all your worrying, we have all that we need. So stifle all your fear and complacency. Yeah, we walk through the valley and we glow in the shadow of death. We don't march alone, no, and life is too short to rest. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Is it this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, cause one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Oh, I am convinced that the consequence of your effort is eternity.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Repair of the Breach broadcast here on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host for the Repair of the Breach, Zach Daniel. And Repair of the Breach broadcast can be heard on What the Pagan Calendar states every Sunday evening between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast and 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone. And if you'd like to reach us during the course of the week, you can email us at Zach Daniel. Singular, and 2Ks for Zach Daniel, singular, Z-A-K-K-D-A-N-I-E-L at yahoo.com, and glad to stay in touch with you the best we can. We've been lately been really busy, haven't had time much to be on the net lately. Check emails here and there maybe, but not as much as I'd like, and the Yahoo groups and so forth. You can join by going to the RBN website, republicbroadcasting.org, and you can join, click on through the program host under Zachariah Daniel, and you can join, and we got some people wanting to help us with that and get that more updated, and we'll be right back. We'll be talking a little bit about the pagan holiday Easter. Stay tuned. Back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, listening to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. Again, I'm Zach Daniel. We're going to talk a little bit about what the pagan calendar calls Easter, on what many today would try to attribute this day as the day of the resurrection of the Messiah, when in reality, it is a outright falsity, a lie, and misdirection, if you will. And some might say, but Zach, in Acts 12:4, It has Easter in my King James Bible, and so Easter has to be a scriptural holiday because it's in my current King James English Bible. Well, if you go to a new King James Bible, it's not there in Acts 12:4. But if you go to the so-called authorized version by King James, and it is indeed stating that Easter was the apostles' celebration. Now, that's not true. They were celebrating Passover. All the other translations got it right and put Passover or Pesach for the word Passover in Hebrew, Pesach. But if you look at every English version out there, everyone has it right except for the King James, so-called authorized version. The apostles didn't celebrate Easter because Passover does not mean Easter. I mean, you look at all the so-called Greek Strong's concordances, which, you know, you can get some pretty good information out of there. But the word Easter goes back to 3957 in the Greek Strong's Concordance. But they're trying to give you a false definition stating that it's equivalent to Passover, and it's not. The two are diametrically opposed. Passover was the true one of the true Hebrew feasts for the children of Israel, who, by the way, are the lost sheep, now known as many countries or nations, known as Gentiles, who have lost their way home and lost their father's name. And now Yahweh is calling them back out of the church system, calling them back out of the pagan church system and pagan feasts. And Easter was never celebrated by the apostles. Now, I'm going to read you something. You can read online if you like. It's out of a book called Fossilized Customs. By Lou White. In fact, I'm going to try to get Mr. White on, hopefully on a future broadcast, and also a few others, hopefully in the next few weeks, get some special guests on this broadcast here on the Repair of the Breach. But Lou White has wrote an incredible book called Fossilized Customs. We've alluded to it many times on this broadcast. You can actually read along if you're online. You can go to 3ws.fossilizedcustoms.com, and if you want to read this article along with me, or parts of it with me, fossilizedcustoms.com/easter.html. It's on pages 12 through 14 from Lou White's book, Fossilized Customs. And basically he states concerning Easter, I'm going to quote him, "This word has been adopted from pagans as an attempt to enculturate by syncretism, or synchronization, a behavior that is absolutely an abomination. If you recognize, quote-unquote, Halloween for what it is, then this will be no different after you learn the truth. Easter was already one of the two biggest celebrations observed by pagans, long before Christianity came along. It is my belief, Lou White's belief, that when this is exposed, it will fulfill the prophecy of Revelation 18. Babylon is still with us, but it is going to fall. Easter was celebrated by the Assyrians, the Phoenicians, and the Philistines." And he states Goliath no doubt had an Easter basket. Kind of tongue-in-cheek there. He goes on to say, "You should look up, quote-unquote, Easter in a Webster's dictionary and do further research in other sources. This festival involved the quote, rites of spring near the equinox of Venus, when pagans believed the Earth Mother was impregnated by the sun, S-U-N. They engaged in a ritual sex act and used symbols of fertility like eggs." Ever wonder why the Easter bunny is the Easter bunny? Ever wonder why the Easter egg hunts are happening in the church system, and for that matter, in the commercial world, for that matter? And why do they hide the eggs? I guess in pagan lore, I guess they hid the egg due to believing that the demonic spirits were attempting to retrieve them or obfuscate their fertility rites, which symbolized their eggs, which was the byproduct of their reproductions and so forth. And he goes on to say, "When pagans believed He said this festival, Easter, involved the rites of spring near the equinox of Venus, when pagans believed the Earth Mother was impregnated by the sun. They engage in ritual sex acts and use symbols of fertility like eggs, rabbits, and, quote, hot cross buns, end of quote. One of the reasons I'll bring up and interject the thought here about the cross, many believe the Messiah died on a cross. That's not accurate. It's not true whatsoever. In fact, the cross, this symbol, was a part of the sexual fertility rites, and it was known as the hot cross buns. Horizontal representing the female, and of course the male representing the vertical. And the cross symbol predated Christianity. Christianity came into inception around the 4th century or so. People don't realize that. They don't understand that. But the Nazarene Israelites were the true faith of the apostles. Read Acts 24:5. Christianity is a Greek term, by the way. I want to continue to read here out of Lou White's book concerning Easter. Really, it's probably a better term would be Beaster. It's really a part of the bee system. That's really using commerce, to promote commerce and so forth. The Babylonian symbol, he goes on to say, Lou White in his book, for the female was and is a circle with a crux beneath, crucifixion or the cross symbol. The round cakes were baked for the, quote, queen of heaven, Regina Soeli in Greek or in Latin, and, quote, great mother or magna mater, with the, quote, cross symbol indicating the female. The cross also indicated the equinox when the Earth orbit, quote, unquote, crossed. When the Earth orbit, quote, crossed, unquote, the celestial equator. Now, he goes on to say, hold on now, because everything will be just fine. This must sound so wild, he states, you may think I'm a heretic. But by the end of this, you will be very glad to have acquired the truth. And he talks about the rest of his book, that it will shatter myths, and it won't shatter the rock of truth, but it will shatter the myths that people have been basically accepting as truth. Let's continue on what he says in the second paragraph here. You can read along, fossilizedcustoms.com/easter.html. To ensure a prosperous growing season, pagans rolled eggs decorated with bright colors of spring on their field, hoping to imbue fertility. These eggs were then hidden from, quote, evil spirits in rabbits' nests, another symbol of fertility. The U.S. federal government does this very thing on the White House lawn every year on Easter Sunday. I'll just call it Easter Sunday. Beaster, or Easter, is the name of the Babylonian, quote, mother of harlots in Revelation 17. Ishtar, Isis, go on, many names, same pagan deity, Artemis, Diana, the symbol in the New York Bay there, you know, the one with the torch, symbol of ancient Babylonian Semiramis, which was the wife of Nimrod, by the way. I'll continue to read. Revelation 17, Easter is the name of the Babylonian mother of harlots, Revelation 17, and her image stands as the sun goddess, quote, Lady Liberty in New York Harbor. This colossal statue even has the, quote, tower headpiece as seen, worn by Artemis. The seven horns or sun rays should be a strong indication of her true identity. Her emblem is the flower of the lily, being illustrated in many places. An American society, the Easter Seal Society, you're probably familiar with the Easter Seal Society, uses the Fleur de Lis, which is French for flower of the lily, as their logo, and they have no religious affiliations whatsoever. At the statue of, quote-unquote, Liberty, there is a plaque dedicating the image to the Earth Mother Ishtar. That's how you get the word Easter. Ishtar, Isis, is all synonyms. Continues on, he states, most churches, quote-unquote, churches, decorate with lilies on, quote, Easter morning instead of inheriting the truth. They inherited Babylon. If we only study history as people, places, and dates without comprehending, quote, why, unquote, things occurred as they did, then everything is unorganized. It's a junk pile. When you assemble it correctly, it all fits together perfectly, clarifying the path we walk on. Satan, quote-unquote, disguises himself. He is quite often female. We know he was behind Nimrod as Molech, Baal or Baal, Mithras, and so on. But, he, quote-unquote, he is also Ishtar, a she. Sunday is, quote-unquote, his diversion. It's a lie. I refer to, quote, Easter Sunday, unquote, as Easter Sunday. And I totally concur. We don't have to wait for a, quote, beast, unquote. It's here right now. The patterns and appointments found in the writings are the ones that are snubbed, excused, and ignored. You will notice. Now, some might say, the word Easter is in my King James Version, and I've touched on that earlier. Remember, translations are not inspired, and errors exist by the tens of thousands in many translations. And I'll state this many times, probably more, and I'll state it again now. I am not attacking the inspiration of Scripture. I'm attacking the translation of the translators, fulfilling Jeremiah 8, 8, and 9, where the lying pen of the scribes of Delta's falsehood. And the spirit of truth is still in the text, and we need the spirit of truth of the Father Yahweh to lead us and guide us into all truth. And we know the monks did monkey around with the manuscripts up in these monasteries on these false mandates by these popes who were ordering the people through their religion. That's right. The state created the church, and the church, the beast system, is two-pronged, as we've talked many times. It has the political side of the beast, and it has a religious side of the beast. And of course, the religious beast, Easter, or beast, has Easter, or Easter, as a prominent pagan holiday. The devil has counterfeits for people to swallow up their time with. Instead of keeping Passover, which occurred about 3 weeks ago, and in fact, the only time that we were to take Passover was on the first moon, 14th day. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And the only other time when you could take Passover, because you were on the first Passover on a long journey, or according to Leviticus 23, number 6, I believe. I think it also might be found in Numbers 9, Numbers 10, where it talks about if you were on a long journey or if you were unclean, then obviously you would take the second month, 14th day. That was the only other option, not to celebrate the Passover. And, in fact, the Passover for the second moon, for that option he gave, and it was only for the two reasons that the options were given, was, again, if you were ceremonially unclean or if you were on a long journey for the first Passover. It wasn't just used as an excuse that you can just celebrate at any time or pick and choose what you wanted. But basically, Easter and Sunday, or Easter Sunday, basically had eclipsed Passover by the church, because they hated all the true feasts, they being the Roman Catholic Christian Church. And many might say that Catholicism and Christianity is not the same thing, and we've touched on this many times, when in reality the Protestants are originally, the first Protestants were Catholics. They were protesting their mother, their spiritual mother, the Catholic Church. So that's why they were Protestants, because they were originally in the Catholic Christian Church. In fact, all the Catholic, in fact, if you were a Christian back then, you were a part of the Universal Catholic Church. And so they protested what? Something that they were attempting to come out of. And to say that Catholic, Catholicism and Christianity are two separate things, well, it's like saying that vanilla is different than pistachio. It's still, you know, got Vatican vanilla in that Pentecostal pistachio, if you will, just to illustrate, or butterscotch Baptist, or however. And I'm not trying to say this flippantly or blatantly or to offend anybody. You know, I'm not trying to cross swords or make anybody feel bad. I'm just trying to illustrate that this has been taught for years, that Easter is a spiritual holiday. And I would say, yeah, it's a spiritual holiday, but it's not the right spirit. It's a spirit of commercialism and paganism, as well as, you know, people say, oh, Zach, you're just a Scrooge. You know, wait till Christmas comes around. You're going to really hit that too. Yeah, I am. I am, with all due respect. And I'm not trying to be a Scrooge, if you will. I'm just trying to be honest with you that these are lies, and if you speak the truth, people think you have to call other people names to justify staying in the pagan rites. And the father's just saying, okay, come out of her, my people. And he said, except you love me more than these, your mother, your father, your brother, your sisters, your Easter, your Christmas, all these other pagan feasts that he said to come out of. He said, except you love me more than all these, he said, you can't even be my disciple. So the truth is straight and narrow, and it's going to offend a lot of people. But the father does say, that great peace have they that love thy law or Torah, nothing shall offend them. So we don't speak to offend or hurt anybody's feelings. I used to be a Christian pastor. I used to be guilty of all these acknowledgments of these pagan feasts by celebrating them, even though in the back of my mind I was always wondering. Even when I was a Christian pastor, just to relate a little bit here, folks, even when I was a Christian pastor, I knew Christmas was pagan. I knew Easter was pagan. But it's amazing how we just go along with the program, you know, get along, and you go along just to get along, and you just assume that, okay, yeah, we all know it's pagan. But didn't realize back then that the name that was being so-called celebrated during Easter and Christmas was just as pagan, if not even more so, when all due respect, all of it is. We're going to take calls here, hopefully in the bottom of the hour, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. If you'd like to call in now, it'd be fine. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this article that Lou White has written. Or this book, Fossilized Customs, you can go online and read it, at least a few excerpts of that book, fossilizedcustoms.com, and check it out. I've talked to him a couple times, really incredible scholar. I agree with him on a lot of points in his books, a few things I would probably differ and diverge, but nevertheless, he did get some great insights on these issues. He goes on to say that that the word Passover, we touched on that, was not included in the King James Version. And in fact, the only time the word Passover or Easter ever occurs in the King James is in Acts 12:4. And we know that's a monk monkeying around with that, adding to that. And they try to make it synonymous with Passover, try to make it the same thing when it wasn't whatsoever. It was two different feasts, one true, one false. And then he goes on to say, Luke, who wrote almost 40% of the Messianic writings, or the New Covenant, what many call the New Testament, didn't put it there as, quote-unquote, Easter. The King James in Acts 12:4 is the only one with this error, since translators corrected it in all the other translations, which we alluded to earlier. There was a previous English translation made by the Catholic priest John Wycliffe during the 14th century. Pagan religions through time paralleled each other, carrying the sun, S-U-N, earth, mother, and child model from Babylon to Media, Persia, to Phoenicia, Egypt, Greece, Rome, and the Celts. The Medes cooked the mythology into Zoroastrianism, quote-unquote, Zoroastrianism, producing the magician priest called Magi. That's how you get the word magic, by the way. They worshipped Ahura, A-H-U-R-A, Haoma, H-A-O-M-A, and Ormzad, O-H-R-M-A-Z-D, as their trinity. And, of course, that's where all the trinity, pagan belief system of the trinity started in Babylon, and then Egypt got it. And of course, we touched on this many times as well, Babylon to Egypt to the Greek Empire, of course, to the Roman Empire and to the Roman Catholic Christian Church and into the Protestant Christian Church that kept it from their mother. And then, of course, the Trinity, again, is something that is idolatry. I mean, to believe Yahweh is one and his name one, Zechariah 14:9, states in that day, speaking of the last days and the end time, there shall be one Yahweh and his name one. And for those that have tuned in for the first time, every time you see the word Lord or God or Jehovah or Jesus Christ in your Bibles or Scriptures, it wasn't there originally in the Hebrew First and Renewed Covenant. The name of Yahweh, YHWH, was in there over 7,000 times until they took it out, basically taking his name in vain, violating the third commandment of the ten Yahweh gave to Moses in Mount Sinai. Of course, he gave many more, but the 10 words is the marriage contract or marriage covenant, the ketubah, for the bride of Yisrael. Remember, the father Yahweh only had one bride, and that was Yisrael. Never had a bride called the church. He's not a spiritual adulterer. Matthew 10, he said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. And remember, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 talks about the Gentiles being engrafted into Yisrael. So the church and Christian world have tried to separate themselves, saying, oh, no, that's for them, and this is for us now. Old Testament's for the Jews, and we're New Testament Christians, it's for us. And they're the ones that have reared these walls up inadvertently, not their fault, unbeknownst to them. But it was a spirit of Marcion, which taught that the first covenant Almighty, what they want to call Old Testament, the misnomer, was that the Almighty was an evil creator in the first covenant. Marcion teaching has now filtered into Christianity predominantly. And that the new covenant or renewed covenant was the Almighty Messiah was loving and kind and compassionate, and trying to make it two differential, trying to make two deities, a Trinity, into a, of course, a Trinity originally. But the article goes on to state that pagan religions through time paralleled each other, and we touched on that a little bit earlier, but these trinities were definitely diabolical and idolatrous originally in practice. In other words, take a look at, like, for instance, the Greeks' main pantheon or pagan deity, had many deities, many idols. But the Greeks, quote-unquote, Zeus was their sun deity. Of course, he was a sky deity as well, whose mother was, quote-unquote, Lydia, also known as Rhea. That's how you get the word Rhea, legion or religion. Shown here writing, if you've seen pictures of Zeus, you'll see him riding, he'll be like a centaur. But his mother, Lydia, or Rhea, is also seen many times riding a swan. And she looks very much like, quote-unquote, Lady Liberty in the New York Bay. And then when you look at Athena and Ishtar on many different photographs, you can see this in Lou White's book. And basically, those heads are basically pictures of indications that they're basically one the same person of the pagan idolatrous belief system. Now, in the Britannica Encyclopedia in 1934, it states, quote, Easter, definition for Easter, Ostara, or E-A-S-T-R-E, or O-S-T-A-R-A, was the goddess of spring in the religion of the ancient Angles and Saxons. Every April, a festival was celebrated in her honor with the beginnings of Christianity, underlined. The old idols or gods, I don't even like using that term, but you know what I'm saying, the old idols were put aside. From then on, the festival was celebrated in honor of the resurrection of quote-unquote Messiah, Christ, what they put here, but was still known, which is really never the Messiah's title, but was still known as Easter after the old, quote-unquote, goddess. So you see, this is not something that is conducive to being obedient to the Father. It's actually an abomination to him. Look at the contrast here. The Creator says, break down their altars. This is in Deuteronomy 12. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah, A-S-H-E-R-A, which is another word for Easter. So break down their altars, smash their sacred stones. This is what Yahweh the Almighty says to do concerning these pagan feasts. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah, Easter poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their deities and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship Yahweh, your Shaddai or Almighty, in their way. Deuteronomy 12. Be right back. You're tuned to the Repair the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel. Repair the Breach here on RBN, publicbroadcasting.org. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network and RBN, publicbroadcasting.org, and we're talking about the pagan holiday, Beaster or Easter. And I'm Zach Daniel. The breach, that's all we're doing is repairing the breach here. Isaiah 58:12 gives us the mandate to do that. Nothing new under the sun, it'll just be new for some. And this is just something that we're commanded to do, is to cry aloud and spare not. And taking your calls at 800-313-9443. If you'd like to call in, give comment or question. Comments or questions are welcome. 800-313-9443. We won't screen your calls. We got Wayne in Indiana. Welcome, Wayne, to the Repair the Breach broadcast on RBN. How you doing?
All right. How you doing, Mr. Daniels? I got a question. I guess it's kind of like a three-part question. And it starts back in Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. Okay, where he prophesies about the Savior, but it calls his name Emmanuel. All right?
Okay.
And then, okay. And then in Matthew, I believe it is, that they also prophesize his name is going to be Emmanuel, but it's spelt with an E. Okay? At any time was, for lack of a better word, Christ ever named Emmanuel?
That was just a title, and of course you see a lot of people today, men are named Emmanuel a lot of places, especially in the Latin community, not just Latin only, though. Or there'll be a shortened form, Manuel or Emmanuel, you see that quite a bit. you know, which really was interpreted meaning that Yahweh was going to be with us. His name never changed to Yahweh to Emmanuel. That's another monkeying around with the text. It's just a title. It really was never a name for him. He has many titles, you know, Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh is our provider, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh is our healer. Rapha or Yireh is not his name, those are just titles. You know, Emmanuel is just that Yahweh is with us in the flesh, the word become flesh, like Yochanan or John 1:14 states. Anything else with that?
Okay. Now, in Revelation 12:5, there is a child. Who is this child? I'm taking this out of the King James Version, and from my understanding of the description in the books here, we got like little stars that outline certain passages, and if it's solid, it means it's already come true, and if it's just an outline of a star, it means it hasn't been fulfilled yet. All right, and in Revelation 12:5, it says that there is a woman giving birth to a child, and it says that that hasn't happened yet.
And she bore a male child who was a shepherd to all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught away and to his throne. When you start researching this out, it's a good verse to tie that in with is Isaiah 66:7.
Okay.
You know, and you get more of a clarification. You know, many have believed, many commentators have stated that this is speaking of the Messiah, you know, and that, of course, he's the only one that could be the shepherd of all the nations, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron many times he's mentioned. I would say that's pretty scripturally sound other than...
Okay, because what leads me to that wonderment of wondering who it is that the book of Revelation is written by John on the island of Patmos, correct?
That's true, yeah.
Okay, and it was written in the year between A.D. 90 and A.D. 95 or 94.
That's the common belief, yeah.
Right, which was completely after the crucifixion. Why would this have not been fulfilled?
Well, when you start looking at, there's some controversy. There's a lot of teaching saying that the book of Revelation was written, you know, before AD 70, prophesying that Titus would come in with his Roman army and destroy Jerusalem, which indeed happened. Many believe that the book of Revelation was written prior to that. I kind of don't lean to that belief. I believe it was written years after the apostles left the scene, except for obviously Yochanan, the one who wrote it, or the Almighty used him as the instrument. He wrote it through him. And in fact, many believe that I think the apostle John or Yochanan is still, I mean, I think it's crazy, but many believe that he's still alive. And I would tend to believe that, you know, because, you know, Elijah never tasted death. He was caught away. Enoch never tasted death. He was caught away.
As far as Elijah and Enoch, I think they may be the two candles.
Or the two witnesses.
Right.
I wouldn't say Enoch or Hanok. I would say more like Elijah representing Yisrael and Yochanan representing Judah or Yada, because also the first covenant witness was Eliah, and the second covenant, or renewed covenant actually, witness was Yochanan the Revelator or John above. Now, he's going to be obviously, you know, the witness for, you know, the renewed covenant as well as the tribe of Yada, because it was preserved through Yadites, the true ones anyhow. And but yeah, it's quite interesting when you start, you know, wanting to find out these informations on prophecy and revelation. And we'll be talking more about that as time goes on. And we've did little teachings on revelation in the past concerning, you know, the mark of the beast. A lot of people think it has to be in your hand or forehead. Literally, I'm not saying it couldn't be,
right,
but I don't believe it has to be. And I think when you realize that your right hand represents signature, contract, agreement, is signed many times by your hand. Kids in school were taught to write with their right hand. If a teacher saw a student writing with his left hand, they called, you know, parents in. Actually, first snapped the kid with a little rod to stop him writing left-handed and instructing him to write.
I know. I went to school like that. I was I'm left-handed. So.
Yeah. We've talked about that in the past. But, yeah, so it's about the right hand and forehead. It's a right-hand agreement. And the forehead represents mentally assenting or acquiescing to the beast's government system, whether it be the political side of it or its religious side, by just being brainwashed, or just the old saying of public fool system, being fooled into believing that these things are true. Same thing with the church. The church system is a lie, deception put out by the state for everyone to just go in, and because all the pastors are government agents if they're 501c3s, and they have their business meetings, and they have to take a census and how much you gave to that church and so forth. These are all political handles of the beast through the religious aspect of their control mechanism on the people.
Right, I can see that.
I mean, and that's why Christianity and the church was not the original faith of the apostles, because Christianity came into an inception around the 3rd or 4th century, maybe even prior. These were the ones that were the Pharisees and so forth. These were the ones that were teaching against the Torah. They were the ones that were saying to Paul and Shaul, did we not straightway preach, not to preach in this name? I mean, in a symbolic sense, in a typology, not in a literal sense. Because the same spirit is being possessed in the churches today and by the religious folks. When you start preaching the true name of Yahweh, which they all acknowledge, but then they say, oh, no, we got to pray to him in the name of Jesus, Lord and God and Jehovah, and they've synchronized and committed idolatry, and it's unbeknownst to them. And I know, because I was involved with it.
Right.
So I'm not setting myself up, as I've tried to say this many times. Sincerely, people are deceived. You got to get out of that church system. You can pray anywhere. You don't have to go to a man. Pray to the Father alone.
Right.
I know. I used to be a pastor, and I'd like to have any pastor who disagrees with me to come on the air, and let's talk about it. Give me, if you disagree with me, call. Call in. I'll give you airtime. We won't screen the calls. It's funny. I've given this encouraging word to many pastors, and none of them have called.
No,
not one. We've been doing this broadcast for a year. Not one call have I got from a pastor yet.
I know that to be true. I listen.
I would love to have
them
call. silence is agreement. Isn't that in the so-called legal system? I mean, isn't acquiescence?
Yes, silence is acquiescence. You know, it's
I mean, I'm
agreement.
Not saying I got all the answers, and I made a lot of mistakes, sure. But,
well, that's how you learn.
Yeah, but if they think I'm wrong on it, please call me on it, because if I'm wrong, I want to hear the truth.
At least put you in a direction or show you something. I mean,
yeah. Exactly.
There might be something they're missing, or it might be something you're missing. And
yeah,
they might
have something I don't see yet, and vice versa.
Right, exactly. You know,
but I know without a shadow of a doubt that the name, and they know it too. Their
right.
own Christian, they know it's not his name. They know that his name was never Jesus, that the apostles never celebrated Easter or Christmas. It's amazing that these Christian pastors, with all due respect, acknowledge that Christmas and Easter's pagan, but the name Jesus, it couldn't be pagan. Oh, no. But yet Easter and Christmas is geared around worshiping a name that was never the Messiah's name, because it goes back to sun worship. That's where that name came from.
Yep.
So anything else, I mean, you bring out, you really got me going tonight, brother, I have to say that. So you've been.
Well, at least you won't be bored.
Well, I'm glad you called. We got Mike in Kentucky, though.
Right.
Thanks for the call.
Right.
Call again.
Thank you. Yeah, you will.
God will bless you, my friend. Okay, Mike
bless
in Kentucky,
you.
How are you?
I'm okay. What do you, by your studies, what are the components or indicators or activities involved in displays of worship? What are the components of or acts of worship?
Well, in the church system, they've got their liturgy, their set order, their traditions, their mode and mechanisms, or their
I don't mean the traditions or the rituals. I'm talking about what are the basic components of worship, because that is one of the main components of the mark of the beast is worship.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the mark of the beast. Yeah, he's going to cause them to receive a mark, and he's going to cause them to bow. But also, it's mentally agreeing and acquiescing, too. I mean, allegiance has a lot to do with worship. You don't have to bow down and say, okay, I bow down and worship you to be only partaking of worship. You can worship without ease, without having to bow down. By acceptance, by agreement, you pledge allegiance.
Well, that's what I've heard a lot of the pleadings in the courts are, essentially acts of worship. So you pray to the court.
Correct. They're absolutely. That's absolutely right.
And the
They want you to post bail, right? Ball worship. They're wearing a black robe, as Mark says. They're lying lawyers in a black robe, right? These judges. They want you to post bail so you can go to jail.
Well, along that line, though, I don't think John the Beloved is necessarily the same man as John the Revelator, is he?
Is he
there
is
proof?
Indeed.
Is there proof of that?
He's indeed the book. There was John the Beloved who laid his head on the breast of the Messiah, Yahweh, Messiah of Nazareth, and he was the one that wrote also first, second, and third epistles of Yochanan. Of course, the quote unquote Gospel of John, and of course the fifth book, the last one that he wrote, of course, was the Revelation of the Messiah Yahweh.
There's quite a bit of disagreement on that, I guess, just like there's quite a bit of disagreement on the year that it was written.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of disagreement, but I think there's enough evidence to support that indeed it was the beloved disciple of the 12, then, or of the world. He chose 12. Of the 12, he chose three in the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And, of course, of the three, it was Yochanan that became even closer than all the others.
Well, the contention that it was written in something around 65 A.D. would support that the emperor that demanded worship before he had died would have been, I guess,
Nero, I believe.
Nero and Caesar or whatever. There's some people that look at the Greek variant of that text, which lists the number as 616.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Huh?
Yeah, I've heard that, 616, in the original.
Yeah, because there's a Greek variant that has the number different, and the explanation would be the representation of numbers and letters in Hebrew, and I don't know, Greek have some kind of numbering system like the Romans did, using letters instead of numbers. And so depending on the way that you transliterate or translate Neron's name, Nero, who was apparently called by other writers in that period a beast, and he demanded worship. So there's whose name and face is on the coin?
Exactly.
Whose
images are subscribed, right?
And that's what I was getting at when I asked, what are the components of worship? Is not paying a tithe a act of worship?
Yeah, it's a form of worship. Yeah, it's allegiance and praise. There's seven Hebrew words for praise when you start talking about worship. There's seven Hebrew words.
When this country was started, usury was illegal for a long time, and even after it was allowed, I think even now, if you're in bankruptcy, after 7 years it goes off your record. That harkens back to Old Testament law, does it not? Jewish law?
That's a Hebrew law. Yeah, that's the Torah, where it's after 7 years, or actually 50 years, the debts were canceled. The 7 years, actually, debts. The land was to be released back, the land Sabbath, the 50th year was a jubilee, cancel all the debts, the slaves were set free. And the scripture says that we were sold for naught. We all have been enslaved through their contracts, through our signature and acquiescence and agreement,
and yet we can
be set free.
It's really like history repeats itself. Your silver has turned to dross. We don't have any silver in circulation anymore either. And
we are
cursed with usury.
Right.
With everything we do. A perpetual national debt.
Yep.
We're in captivity now, I think.
You're absolutely right. And it's because of our disobedience or lack of obedience to the Torah, because we've all been brainwashed to think in this country that, oh, that's for the Jews in the Old Testament, whereas I'm New Testament Christian, I'm a Gentile, when in reality the Messiah didn't have two brides. He said in Matthew 10, New Testament text, or Renewed Covenant, he said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're lost sheep because they've lost their identity into the nations. They've been assimilated and known as Gentile nations. Gentile feasts, they're partaking and forsaking the true feast and the true Torah, the true land Sabbath, and that's why they're in captivity. But we all have been at one time or another, and we're all coming out. It's like the exodus out of Egypt. We're getting the exodus out of Mystery Babylon, what they call America. Did you know the name America goes back to the actual word of meaning serpent? People of the serpent government? Look up the word America.
In what, a Strong's or something?
If you look at the etymology, like American, Vatican, this all has a Roman beast. The first beast, of course, we know was Babylon geologically, which is today modern-day Iraq. Okay, and then you've got Mystery Babylon. Okay, then you've got the second beast, which was Medo-Persia, which conquered Babylon. And then you had the Greeks, which conquered the Persian Empire. And then, of course, the fourth beast, because beast in Scripture represents government powers. And then the last beast was the Roman Empire, which conquered the Greeks. And, of course, they assimilated, became the Roman Greco societies. We see Plato, Socrates, all these. And, of course, the buildings are really Greek and Roman in their origin. So the revived Roman Empire that was prophesied to come, the fourth beast, really has gone covert. The Inquisition with the Roman Empire, Roman Catholic Church, synonymous political and religious beast system, have fused themselves together. And now they're, when they were overt back during the third, fourth century, they were overt. And Inquisition around the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th century, they were very overt, killing the original believers of the Messiah. This was the Christian church doing this to the believers, the true Nazarenes of Acts 24:5. And then when you look at today, they've gone underground. The Vatican controls Britain, and Britain controls this country. The USA is an incorporation out of England.
Well, financially, yeah, after the Civil War, supposedly it was incorporated in the business district of London. But
that's
the
right.
1878, I think, I don't remember the year, but U.S., you started seeing a lot of things with U period S period on them, and that supposedly is a corporation. Now we've seen after this September 11th and all the reorganization. It's almost like they're reorganizing a bankruptcy. You've got all these different agencies now that are operating under different names.
Right.
Homeland Security.
And all corporations are subsidiaries of the government. Therefore, created by the government. All corporations are created by the government. Therefore, controlled by the government.
Any
agency. Thanks. Go ahead.
I was going to say any agency like that has service in the name is most likely incorporated somewhere, probably in Delaware. And
you're right.
It's
credit cards, banks. You're right.
Well, IRS, Internal Revenue Service.
not,
you know, it's incorporated.
Right. And it's not federal whatsoever. Not the Federal Reserve, nothing federal, like someone said.
Well, some people say it's actually somehow linked up with a trust out of Puerto Rico, but I don't know about all that.
I think that's correct.
Anyway, beasts that you're talking about, I've also seen some fairly good analysis or comparison to the different Caesars of Rome that demanded worship. It's my understanding that until his so-called deathbed confession, Constantine received worship, and he supposedly established the Christian religion. But he still practiced sun worship in 300 A.D. when he developed the Council of Nicaea or whatever.
You're correct. You're correct. I mean, people say his conversion to Christianity wasn't real. Excuse me, it was fused with the true messianic writings, and it was hijacked, and it was fused with sun worship. So that's why they worship on Sunday and Easter like we're talking about tonight.
Even our New Year's is pagan. The god of Janus looks forward and backward.
Yeah, two-headed monster. That's right.
Janus Wary.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Mike, call again, Mike, from Kentucky. You're doing a really good job bringing out some points tonight.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks a lot, Mike. From Kentucky, we go to Robert in California. Welcome to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. We got about a few minutes here for you, my friend.
Hello?
Robert. Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Robert.
Yeah, I just want to mention that I listen to your network all the time. I listen to you every weekend, and I'm always listening to what you're saying. And I just wanted to mention, if you really think about it, Christianity really doesn't exist, or Catholicism, or any of that stuff. It was really Judaism, and then from there, all these other religions came from, and Judaism came from Abraham, and Abraham learned all this stuff from living with the Egyptians and the pharaohs, and out of that came the structure of Judaism and all these other religions. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Judaism, when you look at it like currently today, when they've rejected the Messiah, rejected the renewed covenant, would be, with all due respect, is in a category of Revelation 16. There's three unclean frogs, like, or unclean spirits likened to frogs, and I say that with all due respect. I do believe that there are some true Yahudites, I don't like using the term Jews, but because that's kind of a misnomer. There's no letter J until the last 500 years or so. But the true fourth sons of Jacob Yisrael, you know, more are, I would say, more Sephardic. But the Ashkenazi, when they claim bloodline, but they're not even Semitic, they're Ashkenazi. But even then, if anybody comes to the Messiah, regardless of your pedigree, the Almighty Messiah can graft you in and break down the middle wall partition. He said, don't be caught up in vainless genealogy. So he did warn about that at the same time. So red, yellow, black, and white, and brown, that was the coat of many colors of Joseph that he received from his father. He got the blessing. It wasn't Judah that got the blessing. It was Joseph. And Joseph's land would spread and push the peoples to their land in Deuteronomy 33. And it would be the greatest land, and that's the inheritance of Joseph, this land here that we call, what they call now, I've been calling it, America, right, which is now being ruled by the serpent seed government from the Vatican to Britain to here. And so that's why we've got to come out. The land is the most blessed, but the name and the system of the government is a beast, a fourth beast of Revelation. The Vatican's controlling everything, folks. Sure, Zionism is a false Zionism. Sure, the Freemasons are involved, but you're using all of those mechanisms to control you through the Vatican, through Britain, through here. Right. And that's why you see Virginia, that's why you see Maryland, Baltimore, counties are not counties in Louisiana, they're parishes, you know, San Francisco at St. Francis. I mean, look at all the Catholic influence, folks. Right. They've gone covert, they're no longer overt, but they still control things. You know, but anyhow, anything else? We're getting ready to broadcast or end the broadcast, Robert. We're glad you called, and I know that I think you've called before. I think.
Yeah, I've called many times, and I'm just very interested in what did Abraham learn while living with the Phoenicians, and that origin from even back then. And just, you know, if you could talk about it, maybe tomorrow, next week, whenever you broadcast again.
Yeah, okay? I'd be glad to touch on that. Hey, thanks for the call, Robert. God bless you, my friend. Yeah, Abraham was indeed the father of many nations, and he indeed learned, he was the friend of the Almighty, and he learned from the spirit of Yahweh himself, you know, how to come out. He came out of Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern-day Iraq, where he was actually from originally. And so isn't it amazing that geographical Babylon, modern-day Iraq, is being attacked by Mystery Babylon, what they call the U.S., isn't that kind of amazing, isn't it, when you ponder that thought? But yet when you realize that the first beast is really the last beast, in a sense, it's a natural side of it, and there's a spiritual side. The last beast is Mystery Babylon. The first beast is Geographical Babylon. Rome, also known as Romulus or Ramos, was also known as Saturnalia, or the Feast of Saturnalia. They incorporated everything from Mystery Babylon or the Babylonian religion, Mystery Babylon, into the Roman Catholic Christian Church, and the Protestants are protesting that. So stay away from the Easter Bunny. Stay away from eggs. And you tune to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. The Sabbath, the true Sabbath, is from what they call in the pagan calendar, Monday evening to Tuesday evening. And next Friday, or excuse me, next Saturday, next Sunday evening to Monday evening will be the last opportunity to celebrate Passover if you're unclean, or ceremonially speaking, and on a long journey. Take care. My name is Zach Daniel, and until next week, shalom, and Yahweh will bless everyone. You can reach us at Zach Daniel, the two Ks, ZachDaniel@yahoo.com. Thanks, my producer, Manny, and Yahweh will bless everyone, and shalom.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.